A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everybody, it's the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. My name is, of course, Marcus Speller, and his name is, of course, Jim Campbell.
Hello.
And his name is, of course, Pete Donaldson.
I'm Black Friday Donaldson.
How dare you. It's the Football Ramble Preview Show, of course. Your Black Fridays, Pete Donaldson, does that mean you're a bit cheaper?
A little bit cheaper.
There was a big scramble for you.
I'm quite a cheap kind of guy anyway, to be honest.
So, yeah. Who causes yourself riots?
Yeah, exactly.
And who wants to be grabbed
Boys
by...
Boys, good night.
What was it? Hang on.
Okay. Boys, good night.
What is this?
Is this your new robot girlfriend?
It's Pete's Tamagotchi.
She said, I'm not so tasty.
Yeah, have you been overfeeding her? What's that? It's still going
that
on.
That wasn't me. Oh, God, it is. Turn it off.
Just
turn it off.
We can rewind a little while back. Why is it saying I'm oh so tasty?
No, I'm not tasty.
I'm not tasty.
Yeah, yeah, right. That's why. That's more agreeable.
Are you getting dumped by your robot girlfriend?
She wants to see other pixels. She wants to see other Black Friday Donaldsons.
Who else would want to go out with professionalism's Pete Donaldson?
I don't know. This show's never been professional.
Isn't it?
Just because we've got a sponsor on a Friday,
yeah.
We shouldn't have to up the professionalism.
Let's not let's not do ourselves out of a deal on Black Friday.
The art of the deal with Marcus Speller.
There we are, you see, Jim. Well, how about this then? Chelsea versus Spurs. Ooh.
Mm. They're going to kick off, aren't they?
They're going to kick off. Spurs are in all the derbies at the moment, aren't they?
They are, yes. An unusual amount.
Indeed,
of London derby.
It's fair to say this was a feisty one at Stamford Bridge last time.
It's actually, you know, it will go down as one of the iconic Premier League games.
What do you think?
I think so. Well, with some distance behind it, because you know it won Leicester the league, and it's quite rare, isn't it, that happens that a fixture not involving the team that win the league is such a decisive one. And obviously the Chelsea were having a terrible time, Spurs were having a brilliant time, and it would just all collapse with that Hazard goal. Hello,
yeah.
So I think it will. It's going to that'll be on the Premier League years in the future.
that Hazard goal in that game, Spurs must have been thinking to themselves, oh, and now you remember how to play.
It's like you've been saving it all up for that moment.
And like, what was it, the third last? No, because they won about four games from the end or something, was it? Or three games from the end? I can't remember now.
No, it was later than that.
Oh, okay, right, okay.
Yeah.
Because I just remember sort of thinking, that's like the last game, second last game of the season, and suddenly, oh, hello.
Yeah. Oh, no, I think it was maybe the second last game. Mm. Not three or four to the end, I think that's what it was.
Right,
I think it was if we're wrong there, but in my mind... That made the game at Stamford Bridge...
Completely, right, OK.
Leicester's game at Stamford Bridge.
Yes, and Newcastle beat Spurs on the last day of the season, like 5-1 or something.
Was it six?
I haven't forgotten.
No, it wasn't six.
It was five.
Was it eight? Was it nine?
It was 8-4. No, and a football match has never finished 8-4,
no.
Eh? Tweet me at Marcus Speller. but, yeah, it's going to be an interesting one. I find this quite interesting as well, that obviously this is the first time they've played this season, and in 7 matches' time... They play again.
That is weird, isn't it? A little quirk of the fixture list.
Yeah, right.
I read an amazing stat, which is that Spurs have never beaten Chelsea in the Premier League at Stamford Bridge, ever.
In the league?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, well, according to the Premier League's website.
Tweet him. Jim, you know the score. Well, yeah, I mean, it's always been a notoriously difficult fixture for Spurs, which is why one of the many reasons why they were so gutted last time, of course, because they went roaring into a pretty handsome lead and then were pegged back and then fought back quite well. Literally fought back, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
do we fancy a red?
Oh, that's not a bad shout, actually.
Eric Dyer.
Wanyama's due, well, surely.
Wanyama's well overdue.
I think Pochettino might get involved in the old manager kind of squabbling, you know what I mean?
Would you call it a fracas?
Well, yeah, I'd call it a fracas, but he's maintained respectful distance. He's not really got involved with the whole managerial spats, has he, really? Yeah. So,
and that's to his detriment, isn't it?
Yeah, I think he's due on. So I think, yeah, bring it on.
Yeah.
Bring on the Conte.
Yeah, I mean, Conte flaps around.
Yeah.
He's a sort of man who could punch you by accident. Do you know what I mean? Just with his gesticulation. So.
Do you think he's not as hard as people may suggest?
No, what makes you think I think that?
Because you said he was a bit flappy.
He gesticulates.
Oh, okay, right.
He managed to grow hair back just by sheer will.
Well.
Back end of the 90s.
And surgery. Mainly the surgery. Well, how about this, talking of yellow and red cards, Howard Webb said that some players, this is an interview recently, not the interview that he had with Luke Moore, which will...
Oh, he didn't drop the exclusive in our show then, did he, right?
Well, I don't know. Maybe Luke uncovered it and someone else pinched it, as is prone to happening to his ideas, of course.
Yes.
Luke came up with reggae. I didn't know. I had no idea until recently. Howard Webb has said that some players ask for a yellow card around Christmas. Not a Christmas card, a yellow card.
Right.
If they're on four yellows. So
could
they can
be
have
both, though.
Yeah, it may be. Can you sign it?
Here you go, Howard.
Yeah, right.
Have a lovely break.
Do you think that's what Howard Webb's getting at?
Howard and family. Here you go.
And it's on the yellow card.
Yeah.
That's very fitting.
That's very festive.
Yeah, and if he doesn't want to be mates with you anymore, he gives you a red card.
Do you not think that's an absolutely shocking thing to admit?
It's a disgrace, isn't it?
referees this season aren't covering themselves or their profession in glory, are they?
Yeah, but he's not a referee anymore.
Webb hasn't.
Yeah, I know, but he's still known as a referee, though, isn't he?
He hasn't done anything, though, is he? He's just reporting
the terrible deeds
of others.
Or are you suggesting he's like the masked magician who reveals all the secrets?
Yeah, now he's been kicked out of the circle. Now he's that big head on BT Sport.
Is that what he's doing?
All the referees are going, no, that's not allowed. They shouldn't be on telly.
Well, I don't know about that.
You shouldn't be allowed on telly.
Well, yeah, apparently, if people are on four yellows, obviously a fifth yellow gets you a one-match suspension for the next game. And if you fancy taking a game off at Christmas with the busy fixture list, he says one or two players have asked him for a yellow card before.
Where and when do they do this?
Yeah, earn your yellow card. It's not that hard.
Have it New Year's Day.
What, the yellow card?
Yeah,
yellow card
for the New Year's Day match.
I don't know.
I guess you've got to share it out amongst a squad, though. Do you think they sort of discuss it themselves?
No, because it depends who's on four yellows.
It's a lot by Christmas.
Well, why don't we keep an eye on this over Christmas?
I think we should.
Why don't
we
keep an eye on four?
Yeah, see who's on four.
Oh, no, see who's on two now. Put a bit of groundwork in. You know?
Yeah, definitely.
If you're going to call a sickie, don't just take the one day off.
You've got 2 foot of someone for the kids. They want to see you on Christmas Day.
But do you remember that when... was it West Ham away to Liverpool? Who was Kevin Nolan playing for? I think, was it West Ham, maybe? And he kicked one of the players off the... Like, it was so unnecessary. And people were saying, he wants Christmas Day and Boxing Day off, doesn't he? Obviously, nothing was proved, you know.
No, obviously not.
But he did get the days off.
And then he did a chicken dance when he got it. Yeah. Shouldn't be doing that.
Turkey dance, surely.
Turkey dance.
Hey, there you go. I don't know. But going back to the match, Chelsea, they're on course for the title.
They are looking great, aren't they?
They are in that title race, Jim.
You think with this game as well, Spurs' disappointment in the Champions League in midweek and Chelsea's rest from not being involved in that will give Chelsea a big advantage there, you would think.
Did Spurs go out of the Champions League, Jim?
They did, actually. Yeah, I forgot momentarily there.
Carl Jenkinson, did you hear what he said?
No, I didn't.
He said, I don't know if this was the exact quote, but it was along the lines of somebody asking him about... You may be disappointed that you're up against it to finish first, or what are your thoughts on Arsenal? And he said, well, to get to, you know, because Arsenal are through to the knockouts, of course. And he said, it's difficult getting to the knockouts of the Champions League. Just ask Spurs.
Oof, that is going to ingratiate himself with the hopefuls.
Yeah, because I mean,
the home fans.
You know, he grew up very much as a declared Arsenal fan as well, didn't he?
Right, okay. So
that's a dig, I think.
Yes,
it's
that's a dig. That's going to go down very well on Holloway Road. that save in that Spurs match.
Oh, it was unbelievable.
Ultimately pointless save.
But not as flashy as Seaman, right? He just does the job.
Oh, that was brilliant though. The Lloris save. How has he done that? Reflexes are unbelievable.
But it was all in vain, though, wasn't it?
It was all in vain.
Completely worthless save.
But I don't know. I mean, they've still got the Europa League to play for.
Yeah, well, actually, Pochettino has said, hasn't he, that they'll still play their games at Wembley if they.
Oh, will
if they go through to the Europa League.
Do they want to?
Well, I wondered that. But, I mean, Pochettino has to say that they're going to try, like any manager is going to. So I don't know if you can sort of put too much in that. It's an advantage for them to not play in that, isn't it, really?
You'd have thought
realistically,
so.
They're going pretty well in the league despite, you know, them drawing a lot of games. Mm. You'd think they probably don't want that distraction now.
No, I wouldn't have thought they'd want to play.
Do you think maybe they underestimated the group? Because a lot of people were sort of celebrating that draw when they got it, but it looked like three tricky teams, but none that are sort of ultimately unbeatable.
I mean, it was Monaco, Bayer Leverkusen, and
CSKA Moscow.
CSKA Moscow. Three very, very well-heeled
tricky games.
Champions League sides.
Yeah, indeed.
Spurs have not spent that long in the Champions League. Not like Arsenal. At least Arsenal nor... How it feels to play Champions League football every single year.
Yeah.
Spurs haven't had that every year, have they?
Another dig at Spurs.
Yeah, another dig at Spurs.
I'm just basking in it, mate.
Yeah. But talking of Chelsea with Spurs, Chelsea are obviously top of the league. The best goal difference thus far. And Conte's made a great start to life in the Premier League. I mean, they had a tricky September.
Yeah.
They drew at Swansea... lost to Liverpool, lost 3-0 to Arsenal. Since then, six wins in a row.
Yeah.
Six clean sheets.
But that's what's so important in the Premier League, though, isn't it? Because there are so many good sides.
With David Luiz.
If you have... that's what they should be called, Chelsea featuring David Luiz.
Ah, yeah, right.
But yeah, if you do have a little blip like that, you've just got to smash it and just you know, put it in the past and just not let it get to you.
Absolutely,
because there's,
right.
There's just so little room for error, and that's a real sign of his quality, really, isn't it?
No, I think that's a very good point. And I think that... going back to David Luiz... He's not had any moments, really, has he? Not that I can think of. He might have had one or two tiny ones, but, I mean, he's such an entertaining player, this we know. But do you think that Conte's just got the system set up, the way he's got his team drilled? David Luiz obviously knows the club played there a number of times and so on and so forth, has just come back, slipped into that formation and the team seamlessly.
But there's this idea of David Luiz that he's this sort of, like, buffoonish clown who's an absolute liability of defender, which is obviously nonsense, because, you know, sometimes he does do those crazy things. But in a back three, his qualities are really, you know, are amplified, because, you know, there's extra people in there protecting him. He can be a little bit sort of slightly reckless sometimes and likes to sort of bomb forward a little bit. If you've got two players in there with him, then he can do that, and you get his quality as well.
That is a good point again, because David Luiz, you're right, he's great on the ball, clearly. And to play him as a defensive midfielder, I'm not sure, because you need a fair amount of discipline there. Yeah. Now,
all of your defensive midfielders are injured, maybe. You know what I mean? But yeah, it's a mad thing to...
Because he was tried in there, and it wasn't that...
It wasn't a disaster,
No,
was
it wasn't a disaster. But as a sweeper... He certainly's taken to that by the looks of it, and it's been quite well. And the 3-4-3 system that Conte's using is working very well. Victor Moses has certainly flourished.
Absolutely. It reminds me of the way he used Lichtsteiner at Juventus.
Yeah, very much
similarly
so.
Sort of powerful, pacey player.
Is Victor Moses on? Is in early shout for PFA Player of the Year?
That's a huge shout.
Indeed.
Imagine Victor Moses playing as a revitalised wing-back.
Who are the front
PFA
runners
Player of the Year?
Conte.
Marcus Spiller, that is not going to happen.
All right. Jim's denied it. I asked the question and you've answered it before anybody slaps me down. But if it does happen, you heard it suggested here first.
Mm.
Conte, it was he had a sort of a little dig at Jose Mourinho, in a way.
Did he?
In a way, because he said that he saw Moses' potential in pre-season training and found it hard to believe that he'd been previously overlooked.
Which is sort of a little dig, do you not think? Yeah, I mean, what I would say is that Mourinho still won the title
he did.
In recent memory. With a very similar squad.
Lest we forget. Yeah, and then he pissed everybody off.
All digs are to be encouraged.
I think so. Chelsea are away to Man City after this one, and then have very winnable fixtures for the rest of December.
But, I mean, all of this...
Well, that's two tough games, though. Sorry to cut in there, Pete, but Spurs and Man City, it's a bit of a nightmare fixture pile-up. So
those two. The rest
but if we then... You know, they could have another little blip, couldn't they?
They could have another little blip.
By Boxing Day,
uh-huh.
However many players they've got in the squad that are allowed to be picked...
They'll all be on four yellows.
They'll all be on four yellows.
Well, yeah, we have to watch out for that.
You know, that's when we'll be telling who's winning. But, I mean, it is shocking that a very similar squad couldn't manage any sort of performance last season just because they didn't fancy it.
Yeah.
Just because they got annoyed with the manager. I would be a little bit annoyed if I was, paying for these players to underwhelm last season.
Well, they were, weren't they?
When they won the league the season before. Especially, it's shocking.
Especially Willian was their outstanding performer last year, and he's not really playing that much.
No, it's
relatively speaking.
Fabregas hasn't got back into the side either.
Yeah.
He was one of the main culprits of seeming to down tools. And, it's just completely out of favour, isn't he?
Yeah.
Well, I wonder where he's... I imagine he'll probably maybe get a loan move in... in January.
Well, I heard reports that they were saying that Fabregas and Oscar are going nowhere.
Mm. Ooh.
Nowhere.
How old's Fabregas now?
Oh.
He's cracking on, isn't he?
He's, well, relatively.
28,
relatively.
Maybe.
Oh, really?
I would think so.
Yeah. He's a little bit older. That's terrible, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Aging.
Would you like some odds?
I'd love some odds, yeah.
Chelsea to win this one on bet365.com, 8-11, which will give you £70.27, including your 10 quid stake.
Yeah,
so
it's not too shabby. I mean, Spurs are without Alderweireld.
Yeah.
It's a huge miss for them.
Big blow.
And speaking of suspensions, Danny Rose.
Yeah, again, that's another big one, because obviously Ben Davies and Danny Rose have rotated a lot last season, but Rose really does seem to have made that position his own a little bit. Obviously, plenty of listeners have watched Spurs more closely than I do, so I may be wrong on that, but it certainly seems to me like he has really sort of cemented himself there. But Ben Davies is a really, really good option. So
it's a
loss, but it's not like they're hugely sort of weakened by it.
No,
they've got
a deep
squad.
Would you like a little Didier Drogba update?
Yes, I would like a Didier Drogba.
Former Chelsea man Didier Drogba. He's going to be leaving Montreal Impact at the end of the year. He hasn't said where he'll go after that, but you'd imagine he'll still keep on playing, because obviously Steven Gerrard's announced his retirement. Mm. But I reckon Drogba's got another move.
You reckon?
I don't know where.
You seem excited
about
it.
He'll be back to China.
I'd love to see him at the Magnificent Gorgie Boys.
Why would he go north of the border?
That is a leap.
That is a leap over Hadrian's Wall.
Dear listener, the look on his face suggests that he absolutely means this.
Dirty little mouth salivating at the thought of it. Salivating at the thought of Didier Drogba playing for the Gorkie Boys.
Can you imagine that? He'd absolutely
rip it out.
Why have you imagined it?
Because he loves football, right? You know, like Rivaldo loves football.
And money.
Yeah, right, fine, as well. And he went around and he was playing in
Botswana,
Angola,
and crazy places.
That's the way to really, really coin it at the end of your career, isn't it? China, America, Scotland.
Come on.
Where's the money
Middle
at?
Middle East, maybe.
Come
on. Follow the money.
Yeah. For the love of the game.
It'll all be in Scottish.
I'm sorry to stamp on your dreams.
Nobody wants that.
Oh, fine then. Where are we? But anyway, he's going to leave at the end of it. Now, his team, they're very close to an MLS Cup final. They beat Toronto 3-2 in the first leg of the Eastern Conference final. An all-Canadian affair in the final.
That's nice.
Hey, a derby, eh?
Yeah. He's got a lot of goals for them as well, hasn't he, Drogba? He's actually been a really brilliant signing.
He has been good. Well, there was embarrassment before kickoff, before this game, as officials saw that the penalty areas were incorrectly marked with the sideline 16 yards from the goal rather than the required 18 yards.
Yeah. I wouldn't have been able to tell that. I'd be like,
enough. When I saw this,
both the same,
Two yards. The ground staff needed half an hour to sort out the problem.
Imagine apparently they needed an hour. It was a full hour.
Was it an hour?
That's what I heard. And when they were doing the TV commentary, obviously, they can't really go to anything else. They can't just put like Murder, She Wrote on or something. Well, I could, I guess, I suppose. But
Murder, She Wrote.
I love that.
Sorry, the ground staff have fought. Did you see what they're doing? They were spray painting the original lines out green. It was really funny. They had about 10 blokes, each with a crappy spray can full of green paint, painting these yellow lines out, these red white lines out. Terrible.
Do you think they got vanishing spray? I thought, Pat, this will make the lines disappear.
It's not working.
The first half an hour was that.
But they brought Bruce Arena in to fill the hour for like a chat. Everyone said he just looked drunk.
And he probably was.
Now welcome to comedy stylings of Bruce Arena.
He's the new US manager.
He did a tight half an hour. So yeah, he's
well, he's well drilled.
He's well drilled.
Basically, he went out there and went, "I've got half an hour."
But like,
then put Murder, She Wrote on.
Do you know there's three drunk Bruce Arena Twitter accounts?
Oh, is there?
Yeah. So he's clearly got form in this area.
What do you think? I like that.
Slightly dark.
Because Klinsmann's been sacked.
Yeah.
And I think Bruce Arena's in the hot seat.
What I would say is, why now? Like,
true.
He's had so many kind of like stairs of execution.
I think the 4-0 loss against Costa Rica
was that one, you're taking
the piss now, mate.
Yeah.
Why bring old Bruce out, though? Presumably that game was in Canada.
Mm.
They don't care. Paul Spence's leader's Canadian. That'd be more appropriate.
It's strange that he was there at all, thinking about it.
Yeah,
I guess he's watching players. Yeah, I guess they don't just have him like on hand at every game.
But he's not
case someone needs to do an hour of stand up.
It's not that strange he's there, Jim. But getting him on to do half an hour of stand up or whatever he was doing, that's strange, I grant you. Who's the man for the big occasion? Well, his name is Arena. Get him out there.
See that on John Beresford. He's always on the telly out there. Barry Venison.
I'd have Bruce over him.
What?
Yeah.
Nah.
Well,
Beresford and Venison would be like old school club comics. They'd be too blue.
Exactly. They're for the small. They're a small venue. Come on, that's okay. A working man's club up north.
As I think I said before, I think this is how the story went. I was at the PFA Player of the Year award a couple of years ago, award, and I asked Robert Lee if it was true that him and John Beresford stole a limousine, and he said, "No, that's not true. It was actually me and Barry Venison." So I think that was how the story ended.
That's
but
great. Wow.
That's wonderful.
We'll hear from Rob Lee's lawyer.
Indeed, yeah. Burnley are at home to Manchester City in the Premier League as well. Can Dyche's men do the old give them the ball and sucker punch them on the break routine?
No, I don't think so.
I think that might have trouble there as well.
Man City are not in great shape at the moment, as we know.
Did you see what Roy Keane said about John Stones the other night after Champions League?
I heard him say that he had no time for goalkeepers, but he rated that.
He said, "I'm not a fan of goalkeepers."
Love that.
And how does that even work?
I know,
like,
and he really meant that as well.
Like,
I'm not really a fan of goalkeepers. Yeah, just brilliant, like, just so matter of fact. But he said that Stones was like a child getting knocked off the ball.
Oh, he's like a child getting knocked off the ball.
That's the whole kind of cliche men v boys, isn't it?
Quite. But, you know, he's not wrong, is he, Keane? Like, Stones sometimes he's found wanting for that. So, Sam Vokes is a handful. He might give him some trouble.
Old Vokesy. Yeah, it's true enough.
On the break.
Get Stonesy on the waitsy.
Yeah.
He's an ex-Burnley player, isn't he, John Stones?
Right.
Yeah, because I think that's where Everton signed him from when he was obviously very young.
Are you sure, Jim?
I think so.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
When you say anything in that voice, it makes me doubt myself too.
Are you even Jim?
It was a bit of a Jarvis Cocker, Pete. You're a Pulp fan.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
What he says in Common People.
You know the drill. You know the coup, mate. Out of seven home matches this season, Burnley have won four and lost two. The first loss was on the opening day to Swansea. And then the other was against Arsenal when I think Koscielny got an injury time winner.
Yes, and they were brilliant that day.
It was really, really hard. Yeah, it's not quite a fortress yet, Burnley's home stadium.
No, but I don't think we could penetrate it in a raid.
Right, what, the three of us?
Yes.
OK.
They were very leaky in the week, let's say, weren't they?
Indeed, so. Yes. It's fair to say Tony Pulis found some holes.
He will penetrate. He will.
Against West Brom, against Burnley. 4-0. Gubbed them, to use a Scottish word. Should Manchester City call on Yaya Toure?
I don't know, does he not need a couple of months to regenerate?
Maybe.
Call on him, like the carer in the home goes.
Call on me.
Go on, Carlo.
Carlo?
Come on, what did I just say? Sorry. I'm still asleep. I've still not slept any more than I did on Monday.
Yeah.
I'm getting my Tories mixed up, guys.
And that's my fault, is it? So Yaya's inclusion would be an interesting one because obviously Burnley are very, very tough at home and they're going to make it a battle and they're going to make it a scrap. So you want a big imposing figure in there. And like the initial thinking is like Toure fits that bill, but then you think actually he quite often just simply doesn't try. So like would that be a good selection or not?
If he was a wrecking ball kind of player, he'd be a great acquisition for that team on the day. But I mean, if he fancies it, but you just don't know. But maybe he's turned over a new leaf.
Based on the Palace game, you know, like obviously, he deserves inclusion.
How many other players in the Premier League this season have more goals than games they've played? I'll leave that with you.
How's he going to get to five yellow cards if he doesn't start now? If he doesn't start putting in performances now,
Peter,
I'm staking a claim in this team.
I don't think he's got to worry about a break at Christmas.
He's dreaming for that break in his leg.
Yeah, right.
At Christmas.
Man City, of course, are through in the Champions League. They drew with Borussia Mönchengladbach. It's always a good time to hear the name Borussia Mönchengladbach because it reminds me of the joke we heard from Billy Connolly. Who's the most unpopular man at Borussia Mönchengladbach matches, Jim?
It's the man who says, "Give me a B."
Correct.
Hey.
There we are. Laughter. From the other side of this podcast, from all the listeners right there. Barcelona won the group, of course.
Yep.
And they're all going to jail.
Yeah, all of them.
Yeah, seems to be
loads of them.
Yeah, well,
right wrong uns over there.
Pay your tax. Yeah. Please pay your tax. Neymar, not only has he equaled the record for the most assists in a single Champions League season since records began in the early noughties.
Vatalan, more like.
Well.
Ooh,
eh?
Nice.
Mm. High fives.
It's not just Neymar as well, by the way. Alexis Sanchez has recently been in trouble about his time in Spain. Apparently he's got a case pending. And also Samuel Eto'o.
Samuel Eto'o's in big trouble because Neymar, the prosecutor, is saying he should be jailed for 2 years. He'll be fine.
Yeah, that is that not going
that
to
won't happen because
fine
I think,
will be involved.
Yes, under two but, years, under 2 years, like what happened with Messi, or around 2 years, I think they have time to pay it back, and they've got that option. And you can, it's a suspended sentence, all that kind of stuff. 10 years, you're struggling.
Yeah, that's what Eto'o's been that's what Eto'o's accused got. Of, isn't it?
Will Eto'o go? Will he not just do a Maradona?
Just leave. Yeah.
Every time he turns up, we'll have that watch. We'll have your trainers.
HMRC rang me a couple of days ago. Didn't get back to them. It could be anything. I think they might have had my address wrong. So I'm hoping that's the problem.
You're not going to have to move again, are you?
Well, it's my accountant's problem, isn't it?
I would love to see...
Well, no, it's literally my problem. Yeah.
I'd love to see your expenses. Two pianos.
I do, when I'm getting all my receipts together, my credit card bills, I'm like, oh, you are disgusting, Peter.
You really are.
You are foul.
We're going to go to a quick ad break before Pete says something libelous against himself.
Hi, I'm Linvoy Primus, and you're listening to the Football Ramble. Hi, I'm Linvoy Primus, and you're listening to the Football Ramble.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble preview show, everybody.
Before we get to the first match of this, we're not going to touch on the Swans versus the Eagles, are we, this week?
What, the Palace versus... No.
Yeah, but can I just give some odds out anyway?
I just want
to stick the boot in. Bet365.com. 7-5, a Swansea win gets you £24, including a £10 stake. So have that, Pardew. Up yours, son.
It's outrageous, isn't it?
Using odds from our fine sponsor to abuse a man. Yeah. Yes, high fives.
Stop saying high fives.
Yeah.
And then clapping. That's just clap. Manchester United are at home to West Ham United. And we mentioned Barcelona and Messi. I did like this. Messi, there's been a reported £85 million signing on fee offer by an unnamed club to Lionel Messi, which is a huge incentive to sign for a club. Yeah. I think it's fair to say.
It better not be my Sunday league team, the shit.
I seriously.
This is why I'm about the team.
Is that where all you're
furious?
Is that why you're not paying your tax? You're trying to get Messi to Peter's paying his tax, don't worry.
Yes, I am.
Men in suits, sit down. Jose Mourinho said this week when speaking about Lionel Messi, I hope he never leaves Barcelona. He belongs to Barcelona and they belong to him. So Man City are in for him then. That's clearly
subtle Jose. Yeah, strikes again.
Jose signing with Barcelona. No way. That must mean Man City and Pep are closing in. They are closing in. But Man United's a big signing this season. Paul Pogba's not really got going yet in English football.
Eamon Dumfries not having this, is he?
Irish pundit Eamon Dumfries.
He's been slagging him left, right and centre.
It's odd for Eamon Dumfries if anybody out there knows him.
What I love about this is this is probably Pogba's first experience of Eamon Dumfries. Just this old guy just slagging him off all the time.
It's the first experience of him reading about him in the English press, which Pogba definitely won't do.
Quite.
Because Dumfries always shouting his mouth off on Irish telly. Yeah. Apparently it's very entertaining. Obviously we don't get it.
Oh, Irish TV's brilliant like that.
Yeah. Dumfries, I think... Did he not say that he'd rather play with 10 men with Ireland than have, like, Kevin Kilbane in his team or something? Like, there was something, like, really unnasty like that. I'm sure Irish people will be able to tell us more about Mr. Dumfries. But, yeah, he said his performance against Arsenal shows that Pogba doesn't really understand the game.
Yeah, he did. He was saying he sort of constantly gets in the wrong position and stuff like that. And, it's a weird one. Dumfries had another weird moment in the Champions League when he was commentating on Celtic and Barcelona. And Craig Gordon made a really good save against Luis Suarez at one point.
Oh, that was a great save.
He commented with Liam Brady and he said, you'd have bet your house on him scoring that, Liam. Well, one of them anyway. And then he apologised for being insensitive about homelessness in Ireland by making that joke. Oh. So that's a man who's used to a controversy, isn't it? Thinking, just in case, this in the bud now. I'll apologise anyway.
Make a little straw man for himself, and then just sort of going, and then a whole village.
Yep.
And not giving them any houses to live in.
Certainly not. He did say, though, that...
I think you should apologise for that, Pete.
Seriously, though. I think you should apologise to everybody who pays their taxes. He did say that since Louis van Gaal left Manchester United and Mourinho took over, that Man United are having a go. Yeah. And Mourinho will be pleased to hear that.
Yeah. He's also been slagging off Zlatan, hasn't he, saying he's overweight and he's good against the smaller teams. I thought that. He looks like the black belt he is.
Yeah, right, yeah.
But yeah, he's been sticking the boot right in. That's not that unusual, though, is it?
Yeah, no, absolutely not. Former Man United midfielder Shinji Kagawa was heavily involved in a rail-breaker match in the Champions League. We've got to mention this, even though that's a tenuous link at best.
He's got the first goal, didn't he?
Did he get the first one?
The first or second?
He got two goals.
He certainly got one of two.
Well, he created history by scoring the fastest brace in the Champions League. Getting two goals in 76 seconds. Borussia Dortmund obviously beat Legia Warsaw 8-4. The scoreline itself broke the previous record for the amount of goals scored in a Champions League match, which was previously 8-3, Monaco and Deportivo in 2003. Dortmund's five goals in 16 minutes was a Champions League record as well. It was the first time in the Champions League match that eight different players scored. A losing side has never scored four goals before in a Champions League match. Dortmund's eight goals in the match shared the record with Monaco, Real Madrid and Liverpool as well. And the seven goals scored in the first half was also a Champions League record.
Unbelievable.
What a night!
Roy Castle?
They beat them 6-0 in the other game as well in the group, didn't they?
Yeah.
Just smashed them. It's amazing.
But yeah, it was
14 goals against one opponent.
It was... Oh, dearie me. Well, Dortmund could finish top, which would mean Arsenal more likely to avoid Real Madrid, you would think.
Yeah, we'll see.
They would do.
I have a feeling about Real Madrid this year. They'll be the team to batter us out at the last 16.
So. Do you think?
Do you
think Real Madrid will beat Borussia Dortmund or Arsenal will get a better result than PSG and meet Real Madrid?
I think something will happen.
Yes.
And we'll pair up with Real Madrid. And that'll be the pain this year.
I think that Real Madrid will finish second. And I think that Bayern Munich will finish second.
They've already confirmed.
And Arsenal will finish second. And Arsenal will go, and then they'll get Barcelona.
It could happen.
Arsenal will get Barcelona.
It could happen, couldn't it?
Or they'll finish first and get Bayern Munich.
Oh, God.
It'll happen, Jim. So
yeah, I know.
So just forget about doing well in the Champions League.
No, well, I don't have to because it's good. Because as you well know, that they're quaking at this prospect as they were last season.
That's very true.
So bring it on, Barcelona, or Bayern, you idiots,
mugs. Jim. Yeah, call them what they are. But you know, it's an achievement getting into the knockout phase. As Carl Jenkinson and Spurs
said, as Corporal Jenks once said,
Jenko.
Madrid beat Sporting 2-1 in Lisbon. Mm. Now, here's the thing. One of the assistant referees for this match is also a member of the Scottish Parliament.
This is absolutely unbelievable, this
story. Yeah, he's a justice spokesperson for the Conservatives in Scotland.
Popular guys.
Yeah, right, exactly, yeah. A justice spokesman for the Conservative Party. So anyway, make what you will of that. And apparently missed a very important parliamentary committee meeting to be at the match in Lisbon to be officiating. And other MSPs are calling for him to be sacked. Apparently he's got form for this, as you would expect.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the first time he's done it, is it?
No.
And he's just sacking off his job in which he's effectively paid by the public to do a job he's been elected to do for them. So I think it's fair enough. People are saying, hang on, this isn't right.
Redknapp-esque, isn't it? Just taking training once a week and then going down to the match on a Saturday.
But it was Real Madrid. The Ramble Lawyers busy this week.
Say again?
You're keeping the Ramble Lawyers busy this week. You know you're not allowed to say Harry Redknapp.
It's on the list, isn't it?
I just love the guy. He's like, oh, yeah, I can't make this meeting. What? No, but this is a seriously... Yeah, but Real Madrid. It's Sporting versus Real Madrid.
The champions!
As he walks out of the room.
And, whatever.
You didn't have to take the Tuesday, the Thursday and the Friday off. Oh, you've never been on a night out in Lisbon, have you? Absolutely insane.
Brilliant. That is.
Oh, dearie me. But back to the game, Manchester United, West Ham. I mean, West Ham are in need of points. They're 17th, just 1 point above Hull, Jim.
Really struggling. There's talk of unrest as well at boardroom level about Bilic as well.
It's the first time we've heard proper beefy rumours of this.
Yeah, and also, I mean, you've got to look at the people that are out of jobs. I think Roberto Mancini, Frank de Boer, Klinsmann now, as we said.
Harry Redknapp.
Careful.
Oh, sorry.
Whoa, steady.
Yeah, and I just wonder, I fear for Bilic, because part of it is that his signings, none of them have really clicked, have they? None of them have worked. I know it's been unlucky with Andre Ayew being being unfit, but it just isn't quite happening with his new players. And they've got to be looking at the consequences of getting relegated, because with that stadium, I think they probably struggle to fill that in the Championship. I know they're generally very well supported, and when they've been in the Championship before, they've had good numbers and stuff, but it's a big step up from Upton Park. So
you're predicting them to get relegated?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm doing.
They've just got to be careful.
Yeah, exactly.
Is all.
Well, they really do. I mean, years ago, of course, Bilic wouldn't be sacked because he had great season last season. You think, well, yeah, surely he's capable of getting that out of the players this season. And we've not been hearing stories of players being unhappy with the manager. It just seems to be a bit of a strange patch that they're going
through.
It is,
isn't it? And you would hope that he can get them out of it, because he's a very likeable player. And he had them play, very likable guy. And he had them playing some really good football last season. But it just, I don't know, I guess there's a lot of external factors, aren't there? Like those new players not settling in the way you'd hope, and the stadium being a bit weird, and the atmosphere there being a bit strange. And obviously that's translating onto the pitch. Mm. That's going to take a while to get used to. I think, it looks like it's going to be a disappointing season for them compared to what they hoped, but I guess it's just about steadying it now, isn't it?
Well, if you could finish mid-table, just hang on
from the
there.
Start they had.
Yeah, of course. If you finish mid-table, you think, right, now we've got our feet under the desk and go from there. Hopefully that's what will happen for their sakes.
Well, I mean, they've got an away match this week, for crying out loud, so they love those. Yeah, but Man United aren't those great shakes at the moment, aren't they?
They're
a weird team at the moment.
Yeah.
Well, West Ham to win away and steer the ship away from them rocks is 6-1. 10 quid with Bet365 bags you 70 quid, so...
Not bad.
Yeah, it's doable, I think, for me.
It's not too shabby.
Doable.
Well, December's going to be a crucial period for West Ham. They're up against Arsenal and Liverpool after Manchester United.
That is a nightmare run.
It's not what you want, really, is it? I mean, and then the next two games after that are at home against Burnley and Hull, and then away to Swansea on Boxing Day.
But see, what happens now is, if you're in a situation like that where you are in a bit of a slump, say they don't get anything, like what they want out of those games against Man United, Arsenal and Liverpool. Burnley, Hull, Swansea, they're the team around them then, so they're suddenly really tough games as well. They become six pointers almost, so it's bleak for West Ham at the moment. Sort it out, Slav.
but it is, though, and I mean, if they lose against Manchester United away, which could easily happen,
traditionally they do that.
Well, Tevez would suggest otherwise, but I know what you mean. And Ticanio as well, don't worry, West Ham fans, I do remember some wins there for you. But Manchester United, Arsenal, Liverpool could very easily lose those three games. If Bilic is still in the job, then the next two home games are against Burnley and then Hull, and then away to Swansea. Whatever happens, I mean, for their sakes, hopefully they won't lose all three of those games. Mm. That wouldn't be very good. But for Bilic, you'd think to yourself, make sure you're in the job for that game against Burnley and then Hull, because that's where they could get some points.
Yeah.
Because if they don't, I mean, my goodness, I don't know. But according to the Northern Echo, Peter, West Ham will approach Rafa Benitez if they do sack Bilic in the next few weeks.
Well, they can approach anyone they like.
Hands off.
Hands off. Approach Pep Guardiola, I don't care. He's not coming. He did a photo shoot next to the Angel of the North last week.
He was on a little sightseeing tour, wasn't he? Which is lovely to see.
What a doze.
The new Messiah.
Oh, dear. Southampton.
Messiah.
Yeah.
Did you notice when he got his Manager of the Month award last month, he made sure that he wanted everyone touching it in the picture? Not everyone. That would be mad.
Yeah.
That would be insane. It would be impossible.
Because they all helped him get it, essentially.
Well, the coaching staff.
Yes.
So, yes.
Ah, that's nice, isn't it?
And he's been doing interviews where he'll give an interview, but he'll only be interviewed if you interview the rest of the staff as well.
Oh, you're a little bit in love, Pete.
I have gone full DEFCON, whatever it is, besotted.
Oh.
I'm beside myself. That's I love that man.
That's lovely.
He's brilliant.
Let's move on to Southampton versus Everton, if you wouldn't mind. This is an interesting one. Southampton, they lost to Sparta Prague. Mm. But Koeman, obviously in midweek, so not in great shakes themselves. But Koeman's up against his former side. Letizier thought, among others, that thought Koeman was making a sidestep at best when he went to Everton away from Southampton, possibly even a backward step. Because he had Southampton playing well, and you thought to yourself he could maybe go on and so on. But then I suppose with Southampton, Everton are traditionally a bigger club than Southampton. and maybe Koeman's looking at the old managerial ladder.
Well, but also he's probably just tired of Liverpool raiding parties every year, just stealing all their players and stuff.
Well, so we went up there and thought,
to get some back. Yeah, but
he got tricked.
Yeah.
Or he went to the one club where he knows that they're not going to pinch players.
Yeah, exactly, because they haven't got any money. Well,
yeah. That's not true now, though, is it? Everton do have plenty of money since the takeover. No, I think that's probably the real reason.
But Liverpool players are not going to go to Everton, really.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely.
Not many, anyway, certainly.
No, but yeah, I think, there's bound to be sort of financial incentive for Koeman, because he's clearly a very ambitious manager, isn't he? I don't think he's above using clubs as a stepping stone, because he wants to manage at the elite level in the end, and I'm sure he will do. He has got them playing well.
Yeah.
I mean, it was actually... I suppose he's got them where they should be, when you consider how ridiculously talented the squad is with the season they had last year.
I mean, they're seventh in the league.
Yeah.
You know, so they're not doing too badly. I mean, they are... I mean, if we're going to sound a little ambitious, you know, they're 9 points off the top, which I know sounds a bit ridiculous, but Everton are playing well this season. They're a difficult side to beat, even though Swansea nearly did it last weekend. Yeah. But I think Koeman... He should have his eye on a Europa League place.
Oh, absolutely.
The way they've started, certainly.
I mean, I guess he could have stayed at Southampton for that.
But... Well, true. I mean, both sides would have top 10 ambitions this season. Saints are 11th, of course. Southampton held Liverpool last time out, and although Liverpool did have some very good chances. But there's talk of Man United misfit, as the papers like to call players who aren't doing very well at clubs. Man United misfit Memphis Depay joining the Toffee Men.
Yeah, I'd like to see that, just because I'd like to see more of him. Do you know what I mean? Like, he arrived with a big reputation, and it didn't quite work out for him at first, and he just sort of disappeared off the radar. And, he's clearly got some potential. We've seen him, you know, playing for the Netherlands.
He's been
pretty tidy. So, go for me. Go and entertain me, Memphis.
Entertain me.
If there's, that's the motivation you need.
Would you like a lap dance? Amazing.
Well, speaking of Liverpool raids, maybe Southampton are trying to get their own back, because there's talk of them trying to get Daniel Sturridge on loan in January.
It's slightly audacious, isn't it? But, he is in and out of the team.
We say audacious, ambitious.
Well, yeah.
I think he'd enjoy himself.
Showing their ambition. I think for Southampton that would be fantastic.
Yeah.
Even though Charlie Austin
might
have his nose put out ever so slightly, but competition for places is keenly encouraged.
Why not get two slightly mercurial injury-prone players to compete for that place?
They can't both be injured at the same time, surely. But Sturridge is not playing very much at Liverpool. You would worry for his first-team place, or even his, career at Liverpool, because there's a player who should be starting regularly for Premier League sides, injury permitting.
Yeah.
And so,
is that not it, though? Is it not just that he's, gradually making his way back to full fitness? Because we've seen him come back and break down again, and is Klopp maybe just being careful with him?
I don't know. I think Klopp really likes Firmino, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Leading the line, I think.
But Klopp's also smart enough to know that you've got to have a bigger squad than just, to rely on one player.
You do, but I think Firmino is more of a workhorse than Sturridge. Sturridge doesn't lack work rate, don't get me wrong, but I think Firmino, in that Klopp system where you play as a unit, he's very much a part of that. I think Sturridge has a touch more of the maverick about him than Firmino, and some teams prefer that, So
would Southampton pay the sort of wages that he would demand, would you say, compared to Liverpool? He probably went for a lot of money. He's probably on a decent whack.
True, but if they got him on loan, Liverpool might pay, Joe Hart, for example, Man City pay 70% of his wages every week. So with Sturridge, it wouldn't probably be that much. But but they did say, there was a view to a permanent deal in Southampton. They might have a few quid in there. I mean, most Premier League clubs do, as we know.
Yeah, of course. I would love to see the details of that mad loan of Juan Cuadrado, the four-year loan from Chelsea to Juventus. What, are Chelsea paying for the wages at all there?
And Juve have got a few quid.
Yeah.
I mean, they bought Higuain, for crying out loud.
Or maybe that's it. Everything.
Yeah, but he was there before Higuain. Or maybe they were lining up the bid.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know.
Mad.
What about this former Southampton forward, Osvaldo?
Dan Osvaldo, I like that.
Big Dan, yeah. Danny O. He's enjoying life much more now that he's quit football.
Yeah.
Because he was troubled throughout his career, really. He was often involved in the odd fracas here and there, and very much at Southampton as well. He turned down a 2-year contract with Chievo. I can't remember when that. Well, that was recently. I forget. Maybe he was at Boca Juniors last he was playing, but I forget. He was a little bit of a journeyman. He was playing for teams in Serie A, and obviously came over to Southampton. And I think he was at Boca, maybe on loan. But he turned down a 2-year contract with Chievo, which you know, it's not too shabby, is it, playing in Italy for an established club like them. He turned them down to pursue a career in music with his band Barrio Viejo.
Why not?
Get the band back together.
Absolutely.
Well, one last crack at the big time,
boys.
Yeah.
Well, he said he was unhappy towards the end of his football career. Now he feels liberated.
Good on him. If it's right for him, it's right for him.
It's almost, it's quite weird to hear that, because anybody with any kind of... anyone who's ever played football would just think, oh, imagine doing this for a living. And especially with the
not the way I play it, I'm like,
yeah, yours wouldn't be a spectator football.
No.
Yeah. But it's interesting to see. You think somebody goes, you know what, I've done this and I'm not really into it anymore.
Yeah.
Because I think he's 30.
Should we start a band?
Yeah, three of us.
Should we have band back together?
Yeah, more of a chance for that than having very, very late careers in football, I think. but I don't know.
Well, I mean, the odds of us getting a band together is 100 to 1.
100 million to 1.
But the draw, Southampton Everton, is 12 to 5 with Bet365. 10 quid will get you £34. So I'd pile on that.
I'd fancy a draw for that one.
I'd fancy a draw on that one.
What's our bet of the week, though, Peter, when you're looking at those
our
odds?
Our bet of the week that I chose. We're going to go for the bet 11 to 4 with Bet365 for Man City to score 3 or more against Burnley on Saturday, because Burnley were embarrassing on Monday against West Brom, for crying out loud.
This is your call, wasn't it, Peter?
They shifted 4 goals. Don't shift the blame onto me in case it doesn't come in.
You don't.
Unbelievable scenes.
This has happened before when I've called things.
Figuratively and literally hedging your bets.
We bet together.
We gamble responsibly.
We do that.
That's where. We put £50 on for prostate cancer, or indeed the eradication of it. So we could be getting £170 at 50 for that, including our stake of £50. And remember, you've got to be over the age of 18 to bet. The URL that matters is, of course, gamblerware.co.uk. Please gamble responsibly. Is all we ask.
That's right. That is right. Yes. I think it was my shout for a North London double last week, and it didn't come in.
Yeah, exactly. Quite about that, weren't we?
Yeah. You were. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Aye.
Jim, do we have any emails? Or Peter?
I've got some emails. Did you pick out some emails?
No, you gave
me
them
then.
All to you.
All right, then. Leon says, hi, I was listening to Tuesday's podcast and you mentioned that the manager's not a sheriff. In the case of my team, Norwich City, this is not strictly true. Before club legend Brian Gunn's short, ill-fated spell in charge of manager in 2009, including relegation to League One and being sacked after an opening day 7-1 loss to Colchester, not a successful period, he had served as sheriff of Norwich.
Wow.
Brian Gunn.
I know.
I'm amazed such a position exists.
Give back your badge. You can keep the gun.
Brian Gunn.
Brilliant.
Sheriff of Norwich. We're overlooking Sheriff of Norwich.
It's Norwich as well, but you just sort of think, wow.
Did Brian Gunn get fired?
Probably.
You
yes.
know? That's all I want to know.
Yeah.
Right.
Good.
Speaking of Partridge.
Hello to John O. Smith. My highlight of the week was purchasing with money, your new audiobook on Tuesday, and then listening to it from start to finish without pause or respite. That night I had a dream which featured an encounter with Marcus, Pete and Jim. Oh. Must have been a preview show dream. I remember feeling sure that Marcus would like me because I'm the pastor of an Anglican church, and he recently said that he and Daniel Surridge would be chums on the basis that they were both God-fearing men. I was shocked, not to say hurt, when after a few minutes of meet and greet, I overheard him tell Pete that I was a right knobber.
Oh.
Dream abused.
Yeah.
Dream abused by Marcus Dream Speller.
You got anything to say for yourself?
Listeners, remember this is a dream.
I've never heard...
It's very like you, though.
I'm sure I've never heard anybody use that phrase in a sentence before, but I'll be sure to give Marcus a wide berth if ever we cross pews. Thank you, John.
No. Don't give me a wide berth because of something you dreamt about me.
Yeah, stop slagging him off.
Yeah,
again.
You knob. Oh, sorry. Yeah, I am. Maybe. Was it a dream?
Yeah,
weirdly, you've made his dream come true, though.
You're like Freddy.
No, I respect him as a man of the cloth and all that.
Finally, for now, we've met this guy, so best apologise, eh? So you can't blame this on a dream. Dear the Football Ramble team, today's the day I finish reading my signed copy of the Football Ramble book, available in all good bookstores and for free via the audiobook at audible.co.uk/footballramble.
He didn't put that, did he?
He didn't put Football Ramble, but he put audible.co.uk.
Oh, /football ramble.
Yeah. Which is coincidentally the same day my hangover wore off from the Rambles live show in Cardiff over a fortnight ago. I should note that in lieu of a signature from Pete, my book was treated with a drawing of Marcus, while quite frankly treating himself to some alone time.
I remember this.
After then bumping into the Ramble lads in a post-show pub and encouraging them to do a few cheeky straw pedo races.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
Yeah, I remember those. Like, yeah, oh, yeah, I remember him.
He was a nobber. No, I'm joking. You're a lovely lad. Like
Marcus Speller.
They were good lads.
Yeah, let me just write that down. Naughty boy. Apparently, Luca is the only one with straw pedo chops. Absolute nonsense. Yeah, well, I won the race.
I didn't do a straw pedo at all.
Right.
And Marcus wouldn't have either, because he's teetotal, and I am both an adult and, I suppose, a coward. Jim?
I was on my second straw pedo. Luke came second. I came first in the straw pedo competition.
You were so good. You
outside
were on your
listeners.
Second before anyone even noticed, and you basically lapped Luke, but no one saw.
I'm sort of loath to say men in their 30s arguing over who's best at straw pedos. Yeah. But sadly, Jim, and this is to my detriment, not yours, that you stand corrected there, because I did actually.
You did do a straw pedo.
Yeah,
because it looks
terrible.
Like pop. It looks like fizzy pop.
Yeah, it was. I was dreadful. I think I was the last one. I think I just threw it over my shoulder and walked out of place.
The reason I didn't do one... I didn't do one because I'm an adult and therefore impervious to peer pressure.
Oh,
tough guy,
yeah.
Eh?
Tough guy.
Yeah, try and make me do a straw pedo now.
What I'm saying is, please go for a smoothie, please. Drink responsibly, obviously, because this man here proceeded to drink too much, go back to my missus's place and cause a massive fight, vomit for an hour, and then hop on a bus at 3 a.m. back to London, where I had work at 8:30 that morning.
Nobber.
That is nobber behaviour.
Yeah.
Yeah, but listen to this. 2 weeks on, a broken shell of a man, having broken up with said missus after the chain reaction triggered that fatal night, I find myself asking two questions. One, did Pete slip something in my straw pedo? And two, when are you guys going to do another live tour, because I had a bloody great night? Obviously with some recompense, with some kind of...
I feel terrible.
What? I'm not sure. No, he's not going to stop peeling up the live show because you might break up with your missus or mister, right?
It seems unlikely, yeah.
It's not our fault.
Terrible, isn't it?
Oi, that's how punk rock we are, don't you?
Never mind. Poor Adam Price Evans.
What I would say is, listeners...
And he attaches a picture of the aforementioned masterpiece by 1P Donaldson.
Right.
I'll tell you what, it's a good drawing.
Masterpiece, eh?
What I would say, listeners, right, if you come to the live shows, Jim won't give in to peer pressure. Neither will I. I just fancied dipping me toe again.
Yeah.
That was foolish.
Dipped me straw.
Got burnt in those hot waters, didn't I? So Jim and I will be well out of it. But if you want to take on Pete and Luke in the Straw Pedo Challenge, do pressure them. Very much so. Well, you don't need to pressure Pete. He'll get involved straight away.
Well, I did anyway, and then that was my second one.
Massage Lukey's old ego. Yeah. And he'll be straight up for it as well.
Yeah. What I would, I'm just annoyed that everyone thought that he won the Straw Pedo Challenge when it was me that beat everyone apart from the listener who won.
Yeah.
So I came second.
Sounds like it's your ego that needs massage.
No one comes out of this with any dignity, do they?
Apart from you, Jim.
No, not even me.
I mean,
just sound stubborn and boring.
What I would say is those alcohol pops, why do they put caffeine in them?
Oh, I don't know.
It's full of sugar anyway. Yeah. I looked at the back and I was like, oh, great, I'm going to be up for the next 3 days.
Well, you don't sleep anyway.
I know.
See, that's what this is. It's still just in your system from that.
It's the Ramble Tour. It's that night out in Bristol. It's the Cardiff Straw Pedo Challenge. It's London. It's everything.
It's everyone else's fault, isn't it?
It won't be because you went to Japan again.
You're blaming cities now. That's how bad it's
Tokyo,
got.
Tokyo, Glasgow.
Yeah.
It's all your... Everything's starting with ending with O. It's your fault.
Tokyo, yeah. Blimey O'Reilly. Well, thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365, everybody.
Yeah.
It's been a pleasure of sorts talking to you. There we are. We're done. Remember the Football Ramble book, audible.co.uk/footballramble for your free copy of the audio book.
But if you are listening in the car and somebody has forced you to listen to the Football Ramble, maybe you're not into football, maybe the person in the car would fancy a copy of the book. So pick it up at amazon.co.uk.
There we are.
Buy a copy.
Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Peter.
Goodbye, Marcus.
And it's goodbye from me.
I suppose you want the music now, don't you? Yeah?
Mm.
Oh. Are you straw-pee doing?